There's no doubt, beloved friends, the dear prophet Jeremiah knew what it was to come into the depths, both in his afflictions, in the pathway he had to walk of severe trial, and too, when we think of the Lord's dear people in his day, how the Jews, so many of them, had caused him much grief and lamentation and sorrow. And the first part of this chapter, he speaks how the Lord had dealt with him, the severeness of the hand of God upon him, and how he had to fall under all what he had to walk through. But there's a wonderful change, wasn't there, in the language of the dear man's heart when he came to verse 22. He said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." You know, in it all, though it was most painful for him to walk through the affliction, the trial, the troubles that the Church of God was in his day, and yet he could see in it the wonderful mercy of God. And how humbling it is when we can view, even in the depths of sorrow, that the Lord's mercy is toward us. And he says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, really it reminds us of the 102nd Psalm, where the dear psalmist in the early part of that psalm was in such a deep trouble and affliction and weighed down because of his sin. And then we find that wonderful change in his whole voice and what he said. He immediately looks heavenward and he says to the Lord, "But thou art the same." You see, there was no change in the Lord. The dear man here, Jeremiah, and the psalmist in Psalm 102 knew what it was for them to both change, and we are prone to changes, aren't we? But what a mercy it is, the Lord changes not. And here we find the whole tenor of the chapter changes away from all his trouble to the Lord, who has mercy to give to his dear people, mercy to sinners. And then these sacred verses, and I just want to name one or two things in them. He says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him." Could it be said of you and of me that we are among those that wait for him? We're told of the dear hymn writer, "Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation. Lord, shall thy salvation see." You know, it's a good occupation to be found in, waiting for the Lord. And here, the dear prophet, you see, he was waiting for the Lord to come and deliver him from his affliction, from his trouble, from all the sins that weighed him down. He was waiting for the Lord to appear for his dear people in Jeremiah's day, to the soul that seeketh him. Oh, to be found among the real seekers in Zion, they that seek, Jesus said, shall find. the soul that seeketh him. Notice this, how deep this word is. In this sacred sense, he was not just seeking the Lord like the carnal man will, or the religious professor will, with their carnal mind. He was seeking him in his soul, in his inmost parts. The soul that seeketh him. And the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And you see, those that wait for him, those that seek him, he has wonderfully promised he will be good to them. And oh, is not the Lord good to his dear people? Do we know something of his goodness in providence, in grace? And how good the Lord is in answering our prayers. How good he is in supplying our every need, both in providence and in grace. How good he is in blotting out the sins of his dear people, removing all their transgressions. The Lord is good. Who to? Unto them that wait for him. Do you and I fall into this category? Are we waiting for the Lord? Are we truly seeking him? Because he's promised to do these souls good. But then he goes further. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. There are those things the Lord said that are good. And here we have this wonderful record. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That he both hope. Where's your hope? Where's mine tonight? Can we say, we sing it, you know, but do we know the reality of it? My hope, oh, may it be so with us each. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on his dear name. Where are you leaning? Where am I tonight? Are we leaning upon a precious Jesus? Leaning upon all-sufficient grace? It is good that a man should both hope. The psalmist, and I've often quoted it over the years, but it's a beautiful psalm to me. That's Psalm 42, where the psalmist said, and in 43 too, where he speaks of the trouble he was in. And it was within him. And, oh, how many times the dear psalmist David had to come to that place, didn't he? Where he looked within his heart. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? But he didn't leave it there, did he? You know, by nature and in our old carnal mind, we look at all these things that cast us down. We're taken up by them. But the psalmist, you know, had to come far further. There was no salvation in him being cast down. There was no salvation in him being disquieted within him. And what does he say? Hope thou in God. Why? For I shall yet praise him. Oh, may we be brought there tonight, hoping in God, that he will appear, that he will work, that he will answer our poor petitions. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Do you believe it? I shall yet praise him. You know, faith will be given to believe we shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And then quietly wait. You know, so often we don't quietly wait, do we? We murmur while we're waiting. We complain while we're waiting. But he says, and quietly wait. That's a wonderful place to be in, quietly waiting. Dear Hannah, you know, waited quietly for the Lord to give her a Samuel. That didn't mean to say she didn't speak to the Lord, because she did. She took her whole case to the Lord, but before men she was quiet. And that's a wonderful place, you know. The Lord told the children of Israel, didn't he, at the Red Sea. He said to them, those beautiful words, and may the Holy Spirit grant it to us, ye shall hold your peace, and I will fight for you. And the Lord did, didn't he? But ye shall hold your peace. That didn't mean to say they were quiet to the Lord, they weren't. They were crying unto him continually, but before men they were quiet. And they were waiting for the Lord's appearing. So he says, hear and quietly wait. What for? Well, like the children of Israel, the salvation of the Lord. His great salvation. Well, much could be said further on this sacred chapter, and it's a precious word, but oh, to know the realities are couched in. And dear Jeremiah was to sweetly experience them. Well, may the Lord bless these few rambling remarks.